Yeah, it's great to be able to share with you this morning. It's been something that's been on my heart for a few weeks. It's given me time to think about it. And yeah, it's quite exciting, I think. Got the first slide up, please, Sarah. We've already heard about eagles already this morning. And this verse in Isaiah, I really love this verse. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Really, there are two key words there in that verse which is to do with mounting up with wings like eagles. Or if you like, the New King James Version uses the word as eagles. I like that. I prefer that, actually, as eagles. Not like them, but as eagles. And I believe that God is trying to tell us something, reveal to us something in this verse. And there are several of verses I'm going to try and unpack a little bit as we go through this morning. And I believe this is not just a word for ourselves, but I think it's a word for this church, for our church, now and today, as we discover where God is leading us as his people. And I found myself reflecting on this verse at several points, or if you like, crossroads in my life. Lord, where are you taking me? Which way do I go? Which is the direction I need to go? And if it takes nothing else with you away today, then just reflect on this. God doesn't want you to be weary. He doesn't want you to be faint in life. He wants you to run and ultimately, I believe, fly high like an eagle. Do you agree to that? My son, I Skype with my son once a week. As you know, he lives in Jersey. And I Skype with him on Wednesday. He came on and he was looking really tired. And I thought, he's really tired. This is going to be a challenge tonight. And I said, how are you? He says, I'm really tired, Dan. I said, why are you tired? He says, well, I've run 5 miles today in cross country in the rain. I said, well done, my boy. And he said to me, last year, Daddy, do you remember what position I came? He said, you came 38th? Yeah, 38th, Dad, well done. I thought, oh, God, that's good. Woof! I remember that one. And he said, what position do you think I came this year? I was going, oh, gosh. I said, I think it's definitely much better than that. This is dangerous ground now, isn't it? I said, oh, I don't know, 25? Oh, he said, less than that, Dad. I thought, oh, less than that, okay. Okay, let's go 19 then. Let's go 19. Nearly there, Dad. I was like, oh, gosh. I thought, right, I've got a couple. So I go, 21. Great number. He said, that's right, Dad, 21. I came out of 100 children 21st. I said, get in there. Well done, my boy. And he then laughed because I always tell the story. When I was younger, I used to run cross country. And that's one thing I was good at school. There weren't many things I was good at, but that was one of the things I could run. I was hopeless at rugby. The only good thing was I could run right down to the other end of the pitch because I seen some of these yards guys coming towards me who were going to tackle me, and that wasn't happening because I could see the ground opening up. So I just ran with the ball, regardless. But running was something I was good at. He thinks it's hilariously funny now because he says, Dad, if we have a sprint, I'll win. I says, you're bound to, Nicholas. You're about 40 years younger than me, so you're going to win. Run like the eagle. We've got to fly. We've got to run and we've got to soar and we've got to fly. And so as Matt said, I had this prophecy. You know, I thank the Lord that he gives us all gifts and we're all different and he gives different gifts to each of us. And over a period of time, God has developed this gift in me, this gift of prophecy, and mainly through images. And I had this image when we were at the church meeting here in September and we were sat down and we had some prayer and some worship together, and I had this image come into my mind, and it wouldn't go away. And I never said anything about it at that stage, and I just thought about it. And then we came a couple of weeks later, had the praise and prayer service here on a Saturday night, and again, this came to me, and it specifically came in this image. And I thought, what is this image going on about? Why have I got a Church of England lectern, which is what it is, the golden eagle on it, obviously, which they use to place the Bible, which they read the word from. And so I thought, I'm going to have to look into this and try and get to understanding of it. Really important, as Matt said, that image that I had got confirmed by Heather. And she was with the children over here, and they were making things. I think it was like aeroplanes or something. They were flying around, and she had this image. And I thought, that's a wonderful image. I love it. It's great. And it just kind of like confirmed to me. About 2 weeks later, I'm at my cousin's house, putting up curtain poles, as you do. And I'm in Luke's bedroom, and I look on the side, and there's this model of an eagle flying. And I'm like, what is going on here? I'm getting all these indications. So this is definitely something that I need to really pray into and just see where God is leading me. So the symbolism then of the eagle was derived from the belief that the Word was capable of staring into the sun, and that as Christians, similarly, we're able to gaze unflinchingly at the revelation of the divine word. I don't know about you, but when it's a glorious sunny day, as we've had this summer, it's really hard to look up into the sun. Actually, we're encouraged not to, are we? From a medical point of view, not to look into it. You know, and I thank the Lord that you can have these glasses that react to the light and allows you to still feel and able to see. But to be able to look unflinchingly at God and at his word. And also the eagle is used to depict John the Apostle, whose writing is said to be the most clearly witnessed to the light and divinity of Christ. And through his writings, this symbolism came to represent the inspiration of the four Gospels as a whole. And in art, as we can see here, it's just one example, John is often depicted with an eagle, which symbolizes also the height to which he rose, as we read about in that first chapter of John's Gospel. And in him was the life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, when I look around at the world today, and it's interesting, as I pause on thinking about that this morning, about the fact we're also remembering today, you know, I still see a lot of darkness. Darkness in people's lives, in our society, in the culture around us. Yet God's word clearly states that Jesus Christ came to expel or banish the darkness. And the darkness cannot win. And the cross has said it all. And we as believers have our duty to cast out the darkness in our lives, in the lives of those around us, so we can be, as it were, those glory holders that Matt was talking about, so that we can glimpse, we can come to him, and we can show that light and allow that light for others to experience it and to know Jesus and all the fullness that he brings. So move to Ezekiel. We're going to look at another quick passage. I'm going to read Ezekiel chapter 17 and the first 10 verses. So bear with me. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, tell this story to the people of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. A great eagle with broad wings, full of many colored feathers, came to Lebanon. He took hold of the highest branch of a cedar tree and plucked it off its topmost shoot. Then he carried it away to a city filled with merchants, where he planted it. Then he planted one of its seedlings in fertile ground beside a broad river, where it would grow as quickly as a willow tree. It took root there and grew into a low spreading vine. Its branches turned upwards towards the eagle, and its roots grew down beneath it. It soon produced strong branches and exuberant leaves. But then another great eagle, with broad wings and full plumage, came along. So the vine sent its roots and branches out towards him for water. The vine did this even though it was already planted in good soil and had plenty of water, so it could grow into a splendid vine and produce rich leaves and luscious fruits. So now the sovereign Lord asks, Should I let this vine grow and prosper? No, I will pull it out, its roots and all. I will cut off its fruit and let its leaves wither and die. I will pull it out easily enough, and it won't take a strong arm or a large army to do it. Then, when the vine is transplanted, will it thrive? No, it will wither away completely. When the east wind blows against it, it will die in the same good soil where it has grown so well. Whew! It's a bit strong words, isn't it, there, that he's declaring? And really, this is a story or a riddle. Story or a riddle. And here Ezekiel is telling this to his fellow exiles. And we have this image of these two eagles, symbols of the nations and the rulers. So on a political level, we have that first eagle representing the Babylonian Empire, which carried Israel off to live in its land by the abundant waters, where the exiles did well. And then we have the second eagle, which represents the attempt of King Zedekiah of Judah seeking to find safety for his people through an allegiance with Egypt, a scheme which Jeremiah also described as being misguided. So that is a very quick nutshell, which is very hard in the Old Testament to get to grips with what he was originally saying. But actually, there's a deeper meaning to this passage, to this story or this riddle, which is hinted at by some of the elements which don't quite fit simply into that surface analysis that I've just given to you in that very potted version. When I was studying theology at college, I used to sit in the Old Testament lectures and think, oh my gosh, here we go again. This is going to be such hard work. But actually, we had a really good tutor and actually made it really interesting, but just take a bit to grapple with. So why is the home of the cedar called Lebanon? And who planted this cedar in the first place? Well, we hear this phrase, didn't we? This land of trade. The land of Cana, this was the trading place. And it reminds the reader of Israel's initial settlement into Cana. And who was it that brought them there? And we read in Psalm 80, verses 8 to 11. You brought us from Egypt as though we were a tender vine. You drove away the pagan nations and transplanted us into your land. You cleared the ground for us, and we took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with our shade. The bright cedars were covered with our branches. We spread our branches west to the Mediterranean Sea and our limbs east to the Euphrates River. So God's provision is encapsulated there in that psalm. For the people were the vine that he brought out of Egypt. And we could go in and think about Jesus talking about the branches and the vine, but I'm not going to go there today. So, Judah's political unfaithfulness is only a reflection of her spiritual state. It rises out of a lack of her trust in God. And so this riddle draws us as the readers into appreciation of the spiritual dimensions of the events it describes. God's wisdom in gaining that spiritual insight. If we read on a little bit in Ezekiel to verses 22 to 24, it says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of the cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. And all the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree to grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry trees flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. I love that. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Can we not declare that today? So God's action, which will relocate Israel and make that nation fruitful, so that all the other nations of the world will recognize the Lord as the prime purpose and power in human history. And I believe that's a message for the church, for this church today. We need to seek God's wisdom. We need his insight for his provision. In doing so, we will see his action, where he wants us to be, what he wants us to do, whether we should stay here or whether we should relocate, and to discover what his purpose is for us today in this city, to be his people, sharing forth his glorious light, leading the way to that everlasting light. I want to show you, it's about 2 minutes, a short video which explains more about the eagle and how it flies than I could do in words. So let's have a quick watch of this.